The state Senate passed a bill yesterday that would require health plans to provide equal coverage for chemotherapy pills as they do for chemotherapy treatment that is administered through IVs in clinics. This bill now goes to the Assembly, where, as we just heard in state news, its future is uncertain. Do you support or oppose this legislation, and why? That's today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, March 19th. Plus, we're going to talk about the politics swirling around this legislation and welcome your questions and views for our guest analyst at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, tweet us at Joy Cardine Show, and vote in our online poll, which you will find at WPR.org/joy. Let me welcome our big question guest. Ed Miller is a professor of political science and co-director of the Center for the Small City at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. His areas of expertise include health policy. Good morning, Professor Miller.
Good morning, Joy.
So let's get some of the basics down first. Why was this bill proposed in the first place? What was the problem?
Well, the problem was the insurance companies did not want to cover a portion of the bill with a higher deductible, you know, for the bill. And so consequently, individuals with cancer who were covered when they got chemotherapy in the hospital, infusion kind of chemotherapy, were not being covered as well with the pill.
So,
and it's certainly much more convenient to take the pill. And a number of new chemotherapies coming out are in pill form.
Yeah, so the insurance companies had no problem. Well, they paid for the IV treatment at a hospital or a clinic for chemotherapy, but they weren't paying as much for a chemotherapy pill taken orally by a patient at home.
Right, because drug benefits are typically different for what you get in the hospital and what's covered as part of that kind of a treatment and what you would get as, outpatient.
Well, we'll get into some of the politics of this, but why were the insurance companies opposing this bill?
Well, I think insurance companies were opposing it not only because of the chemotherapy. I think that's one thing, but there's a lot of very expensive drugs coming out on the market. One that has recently come out on the market last couple weeks, and that's a hepatitis C drug, and that is $1,000 a pill. And so I think the concern of the insurance companies is not only the chemotherapy, but is also a whole variety of drugs that will be coming out that are very expensive. And in general, they don't want to be mandated to cover anything.
Yeah, they're against the mandate, but the insurance company was saying that this is going to lead to higher health care costs, higher health insurance premiums. Is that
right,
true?
Which is typically what they say. In this particular case, there's been surveys of that, and the increase in health care costs in states that have this law has either been zero or a very small fraction of a percent.
Yeah. And you say, too, that this bill would actually save insurers money, at least the chemotherapy bill. How does that work?
Right. This could save insurers money because the fact is that you're taking this pill as opposed to going in and getting infusion treatment, where you pay not only for the drug that is given in the infusion treatment, but all the staff that is giving you the drug. So over a long run, if you do, you have to go in to get it, which is more difficult for patients. The fact is, it's going to cost them more money.
Yeah. Actually, Pam on Facebook says, oral chemo drugs are under prescription plans for which there are usually high copays. IV chemo drugs are usually covered because you have to go to a clinic and spend many hours having an IV. IV chemo drugs cost more because they have to be administered by a nurse in a clinic. Taking a pill is much easier. No clinic costs, no nursing costs, no time lost from work. Some of the newest, most effective chemo or oral drugs are very expensive and should be covered because they actually save money in many ways. Many people with metastatic cancers depend on oral chemo drugs. So Pam has that right, Professor?
Right, right. It's exactly true.
Yeah.
And it is cheaper than fusion. But the fact is that what they're looking at is this whole area, I think, at least I believe the drug companies are probably looking at this, not the drug company, insurance companies. Drug companies are selling it, and that's the biologics. These are the new drugs that are coming out, and a lot of new biologics will be coming out made by Amgen, Biogen, and those companies. And those, unlike a lot of the typical prescription drugs, are much more expensive. I mean, we're talking about, as I say, the hepatitis C drug is $1,000 a pill.
Yeah, so the insurance company is saying this is the first step toward us having to cover all of these expensive oral medications.
Right, and it's not clear how this is going to be done because of the cost of these drugs and who's going to be covered. On the hepatitis C, for example, there's a tremendous debate in terms of whether they're going to cover that and or who they're going to cover it for. So some insurance companies are saying, well, once somebody is going through the traditional therapy for hepatitis C and they fail that therapy, then we will cover it, only in those circumstances to try to limit their cost. And in fact, is California, it's estimated to be several billion dollars the cost of just the hepatitis C drug, just in California.
Well, we've witnessed fights like this before, or debates like this before in the state legislature and in Congress, for that matter. I suppose insurance companies do not like it when they are told you must cover this, but it has happened in the past where policymakers have said, you must cover this.
Right, and there's considerable number of them in Wisconsin. I mean, you can look at one of the more recent ones was the question of covering autism spectrum disorder in terms of treatment. And that was a major debate in the Wisconsin legislature in terms of requiring covering that because, you know, it tends to be expensive, and there's evidence to show that it does work. And so that was finally enacted a couple years ago, and that's a mandatory benefit. We have all kinds of mandatory benefits in Wisconsin on breast reconstruction, covering all kinds of clinical trials for cancer and so forth. There's a whole list from the insurance commissioner you can see. That must be covered.
Yeah.
So this is nothing new in terms of mandates that must be covered. In this case, a number of states have gone the same way in requiring this coverage. In Wisconsin, not only do you have your normal interest groups operating, but in this case, I think that it's conceivable that they wanted to bury the bill, given the procedures that were used, the very unusual procedures to delay the bill. And I think that some of this pressure came not only from cancer groups, but also from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, because the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has been running this story on the front page for quite a number of days now. And I think that put tremendous pressure on these Republicans, because here, these Republicans who wanted to bury the bill now look like they're against cancer treatment. So they were between a rock and a hard place. And you notice that Fitzgerald, whose brother is the lobbyist for the insurance industry, the Senate Majority Leader, the fact is that he ultimately voted for the bill, but he was the one that actually sent it to a committee at the last minute, which would have prohibited the bill from being on the floor of the Senate. But he ultimately turned around and voted for the bill at the last minute because of what it looks like.
Yeah, Professor Miller, I think it was that the legislature knew we were going to be talking about it today. That's the pressure that was put on him.
Right.
Just
right. That could be true.
Yeah.
That could be as well. But but they've had tremendous pressure on this. And now the problem is that the Assembly and Majority Leader Voss in the Assembly is also opposed to the bill. But he's willing to accept, I guess, some kind of compromise. And so he's going to alter the bill from that which was passed by the Senate. Well, that's not an unusual phenomenon, but in this particular case, the legislature is going out of session. And so if he alters the bill, it's got to go back to the Senate, for approval of that alteration. And if they disagree, it goes to the conference committee, or at least the leaders attempt to compromise the bill. But there's only a couple days left in the session, so there's a good chance that if a different bill is passed by the Assembly, it won't be enacted upon this year.
Won't that look like Speaker Voss is against cancer patients, like you said, was the perception, perhaps.
Right. And he has indicated that he was opposed to the bill. Most likely what the Speaker would say, Voss will say, will be that, that he was in favor of a different approach. And a couple states have taken a different approach, such as a limiting what the copays could be. And he could say, well, I approved this different approach, and so therefore we just didn't have the time this year, but we will take it up next year.
We're talking with Ed Miller. He's a professor of political science at UW Stevens Point about the politics and the policy involved with this chemotherapy legislation. The state Senate did yesterday pass a bill by a vote of 30-2, overwhelmingly passed this bill that would require health plans to provide coverage for chemotherapy pills just as they do for IV chemotherapy. At first, it looked like the Senate Majority Leader, Scott Fitzgerald, was going to block a vote from being taken on this bill. But he ultimately brought it up for a vote yesterday, and he ultimately voted for the bill yesterday. Now, Professor Miller just mentioned, it's now goes to the Assembly, where its future is uncertain. So our big question is, do you support or oppose this legislation, and what do you make of the controversy around it? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the big question on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today's big question is, do you support or oppose the legislation that's in the state legislature that would require health care plans to provide equal coverage for oral chemotherapy as they do for IV chemotherapy? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Ed Miller, professor of political science and co-director of the Center for the Small City at UW Stevens Point. His areas of expertise include health policy. Well, let's take a call from Ralph in Little Suamico. Hello, Ralph.
Yes, hello. I missed about the first 10 minutes, so maybe this was brought up, but it appears to me, from what I heard, that you're just going to have a little game between the drug companies and the insurance companies, and the drug companies look like they just are pricing their drugs whatever it takes to make it even with IV treatment, and when they do this, of course, they're making a whole pile of money. So there's got to be a lot of money from lobbyists and that sloshing around on this thing. How are you going to get them to control it so that they just give you the actual cost of the drug instead of saying, well, this operation costs X dollars, so we're just going to make our pill the same price?
And do you follow that, Professor Miller?
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Well, one of the problems is that we don't know what the cost of these drugs are, mm-hmm. The cost to make these drugs, and that's one of the problems. And clearly, the prices that they're selling the drugs are way above that which they probably need to sell them. However, they do have a shorter period of patents, one of their problems. And the other problem they have is that these drugs are also available throughout the world many times, and consequently they can't afford this amount like in Africa, and so therefore those drugs are either given away free over there or those drugs are sold at a much cheaper price. Plus we have drug controls in, for example, Europe and Canada, so the price in the United States tends to be much higher than that of the rest of the world. So that's another little problem that they do have. But there's a lot of pushback on the prices of these drugs in terms of what their actual cost is. And now with biologics, for example, the actual cost of producing those drugs are much higher, that is true, much higher than the cost of producing, you know, the average kind of drugs that are sold, because it's made from living cells. And so, therefore, the production cost is much higher. And for biologics, there are no generics. So that creates another problem. But the bottom line is that the price of the drugs are higher than most likely they need to be.
Carol on Facebook says, all types of chemotherapy medications should be available to everyone at an affordable price. My sister couldn't pay for her oral medications at about $2,000 a month and had to continue with the IV chemo drugs. It was never pleasant. And let's take a call now from Dave in Elroy. Hello, Dave.
Hi. Yeah, I definitely think that insurance companies should have to pay for these oral medications. I don't even know why it's a question. I mean, on the one hand, if the alternative, if people take it in IV, they're going to pay for it anyway. Now they don't want to pay for it orally. As a cancer patient, I've got five different kinds of cancer, and I've been dealing with insurance companies for 11 years, and I can tell you they are always looking for ways to get out of paying. It is a constant fight. I feel so strongly about this that I don't think we'll ever have decent health care in this country until we can actually get rid of them, like some folks wanted to do when health care reform came up. We need to just get rid of these dang insurance companies because they're just plain evil.
Want to comment on that, Professor Miller?
Well, that's rather clear, and he's got a, I mean, the point is that it's very difficult. Insurance companies are in the business of making money, and so a number of insurance companies are profit-making companies. The Blue Cross and Blue Shield in Wisconsin, for example, is now part of Anthem, and that's a profit-making company. And so they're looking at the bottom line. Hopefully, they're also looking to provide a service, but certainly they don't want to go into the red, and they are making money. Even nonprofit insurance companies, even though we don't call it a profit, you know, want to make a surplus. And this kind of insurance is a little bit different than insurance like you would buy on your house. You know, if you buy a house, you know, insurance on your house is depending on whether you're going to have a fire or not. And hopefully most people don't have a fire. But with medical insurance, you know, most people are going to need to use their medical insurance. And so it's a different kind of business with medical insurance than you have with other kind of insurance. But they're looking at, you know, the money, the cost, how much is paid in premium and how much is then paid out in benefits. However, on the Affordable Care Act, for the first time, we actually do have what's called a loss ratio, which means that all insurance companies have to pay out at least 85%, and for smaller firms, 80% of the money taken in. And the consequence of this was that some insurance companies actually had to send back checks to their policyholders because they weren't paying out that much.
You know, one of the main opponents of the bill in the state Senate, Senator Paul Farrow, a Republican from Pewaukee, he was one of only two who ultimately voted against the bill yesterday, floated an alternative bill that would use taxpayer money to help patients pay for chemotherapy above $4,200, but it would also require the state to study the costs of oral chemo. That idea was rejected by his colleagues. Senator John Erpenbach, a Democratic Senator John Erpenbach, called that an insurance company bailout. Can you understand what Senator Farrell was proposing there, and whether that would have done any good?
That was extremely unusual for a Republican. He was proposing essentially a subsidy, was a bailout. He called it at least a subsidy for drug companies, that drug companies would be held harmless above that particular figure. And so, in effect, what Erpenbach said was, in a way, was correct. I don't know if a bailout, but at least it was it holds them harmless above a certain particular figure using public money, using public taxpayers' money, which usually is not in the Republican way of doing things.
Yeah, we only have about a minute or so before news. Why would Senator Fitzgerald, when he had a big majority of his House in favor of this bill, try to block a vote on it?
Well, I think it's the pressure of the insurance companies. And so he's in charge. And so he attempted to block a vote. The other thing, the other reason to block a vote is, with the number of members who say they're in favor of it, the fact is that they don't want to vote on it. And so if he blocked the vote, the Republicans don't have to vote. They can say they're in favor of it, but really go along with the insurance companies. In the Assembly, it's interesting that a lot of the members of the Assembly, Republicans in the Assembly, have not declared either way on the bill.
Yeah. Well, we will. We do have news coming up from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue taking more of your questions for our guest about this chemo bill, this chemotherapy pill legislation requiring health care plans to provide equal coverage for oral chemotherapy as they do for IV chemotherapy. And we'll welcome your views, too. Our big question today is, do you support or oppose this legislation, and why? Or what questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. As we do every Wednesday for the big question, we have also posted an online poll. You can vote online at WPR.org/joy. And we will have a sound off at the end of this hour. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 7:37 on this Wednesday, March 19th. In today's big question, we are talking about legislation that the state Senate passed yesterday by a vote of 30-2 that would force insurance companies to cover chemotherapy pills. The legislation now goes to the Assembly, where it might be amended, and if that happens, it may not pass this session. So we are asking, in today's big question, do you support or oppose this legislation, and why? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or if you have some questions for our guest. He is Ed Miller, professor of political science and co-director of the Center for the Small City at UW-Stevens Point. His areas of expertise include health policy. Jane, in an email, says, it is not the government's job to tell a private industry what they need to cover in their insurance plans. These incessant mandates are a big reason that insurance premiums are so high. If you want a plan that covers specific kinds of drugs, then you are free to go buy a plan that covers them. The insurance company does not deny coverage if you have chosen to purchase. Is it their fault that a person chooses to limit what their plan covers? What about that, Professor Miller?
Well, one of the problems here is that it's not a normal market, whether you're talking about for insurance or the underlying health care cost, that in effect you have what's called market failure, that individuals don't know. For example, like in the chemotherapy drug, an individual would have a health plan and probably don't even know what is covered or not covered to begin with. And certainly they wouldn't know during the year whether they would get cancer and need that drug. And so it becomes a very difficult situation when the market doesn't work. You've got to understand that this is different than a market like buying running shoes, where you can go out and you can look at what's the best running shoe and what a shoe is best for you. You know, may not want the most expensive shoe. Healthcare is quite different, that individuals don't know. Individuals don't even make the decision. For example, if you go out to buy a running shoe, you make a decision on whether to buy one and what kind to buy. But in the medical area, it's the provider that makes that decision. Matter of fact, it's often said that the most costly thing in healthcare is the provider's pen in ordering various things and various drugs. And it's also mandatory that you don't have an option, that you can't say, gee, I don't want to do the chemotherapy. Well, you could, but you will die. And so consequently, it's a different ball game than the normal market. So in that kind of situation, you either have to have two things, one of two things. Either the government has to produce a service, as it does with some services, such as water, for example, or the government has to regulate the service, as it does with electricity. That's another example of a market failure. So in this particular case with the insurance market, the government then regulates the market, and this is part of the regulation.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the politics here, too. This is, at least in my memory, unusual. If this bill was proposed by Republican State Senator Alberta Darling, if I'm not mistaken, and
right.
So we had a Republican saying we need this insurance mandate.
Right, and she's had cancer.
Ah, there we go, too. And it has passed in other states as well. So, number one, it seems there were a lot of insurance plans not covering this kind of stuff. The oral chemotherapy. And in this case, we had a Republican proposing the bill, and all but two in the state Senate voted for this bill. So the politics kind of go out the window for this issue?
Right. It's very difficult. It's very unusual, I should say, because normally in Wisconsin in the last several years, that it's been completely party polarized, that the Republicans vote one direction, Democrats vote in the other direction. But in this case, at least the Republican Party is split on this particular issue. Plus, I mean, not only have the lobbying, but you have the public view of this, and the public view of this generally is that this should be covered. And so if a senator really didn't believe that it should be covered, it would really be hard to come out and say, gee, I don't think this should be covered, when they have to run for elections, when most of the public think it should be.
Yeah. Let's go to Ron in Eau Claire next. Hello, Ron.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. It's sad we even have to have this conversation. It shows that the big drug companies, the big insurance companies, are in the pockets of certain politicians. And I hope the voters are aware of when election time comes, if they choose not to take this up or vote it down, I hope the voters are aware of who is voting it down or who's killing it or who's making sure it doesn't come to the floor. And I haven't heard Scott Walker come out one way or the other. He's been pretty tight-lipped. I don't know if he's afraid that he doesn't want to say too much because it could come back to haunt him when it comes time to the election. I don't know. It's just, to me, it should be covered, and it's a very small percentage of the population. And I think the person on Facebook, I would say she would be talking different if her family or herself had cancer or hepatitis. I'm sure she'd be talking out of the other side of her mouth, and that's what I've got to say. And I don't have any of the cancer or hepatitis, so I don't have to worry about it at this point. But for our fellow citizens, it's just a shame that we're in this discussion. But thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Ron. Are voters going to be watching this issue enough that it might make a difference for political futures of the opponents of this bill?
Oh, I think some of the voters definitely will be, especially given that this is specifically on chemotherapy, those who have cancer, and lots of people have cancer or cancer in their family. And I think that would be a serious situation in terms of politically. And in addition to that, I wouldn't be surprised that you would find that vote against this bill will be in political ads, you know, during the election time. And so, you know, there's two sides to this. On one side, there's the pressure from the insurance companies not to approve this particular mandate. And on the other side, there was a clear, overwhelming view of citizens, voters, that it should be passed. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to avoid taking a stand on the bill, which is why a large portion of Assembly Republicans have not given what their position is on the bill.
Yeah, I'm looking because I thought a reporter did ask Governor Walker about this, and he may have said, well, it's not on my radar, which he says to a lot of issues, but that he'll take a look at it
said he hadn't made a decision.
He had not made a decision. Okay, all right. That's a lot of times what he will say when asked if he will sign legislation or not. We did also have a couple of people on Facebook, and you touched on this briefly in our first half hour, but we had people on Facebook saying that they think that Jeff Fitzgerald's role as a lobbyist had a big influence on this bill being held up. Jeff Fitzgerald, of course, the brother of Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. Your reaction to that?
Well, there's two questions. One, he's the brother, which creates a problem of the majority leader in the Senate who has taken the greatest action with regard to this bill. I mean, he's just not a senator. He is the majority leader, and he is the one who essentially delayed the consideration of the bill. That's the one issue. And the second issue is that his brother was a leader, certainly, of the legislature as well in the assembly. And the fact is that he's lobbying the very bodies that he was a member of. And often people talk about some installation period between the time that he was a leader and the time you can lobby your group. And, of course, he's going into lobbying, which is a very lucrative area.
We did look it up that Governor Walker didn't say this, but Governor Walker's spokeswoman, Laurel Patrick, said that Walker would likely be inclined to sign the bill if the Assembly backs the measure by as wide a margin as the Senate did.
Right, and, you know, that's a sort of a non-answer. Nobody actually knows. I mean, for one thing, is a lot of the Republicans in the Senate, in the Assembly, have not taken a stand on the bill. And there's several who are also indicated they're undecided, and there's some that are for the bill. But the hope among those who are against the bill are hoping that the bill never actually passes the legislature, so that it never comes up for this vote. And it was sort of pushed to vote. It would have never come up for a vote without the media pushing it in the Senate.
And do you have any indication what Speaker Voss might change about the bill? He said there could be amendments when the Assembly takes it up tomorrow. What would be?
Well, it's not clear, but the belief is that what he may do is the amendment may be a different process, and that would be limiting what the out-of-pocket costs would be.
All right.
But that is a little bit different. For example, in California, their bill limits out-of-pocket costs to $200 a month. That kind of approach.
So the change there would be that the patient would be responsible for this amount of money, and then after that, the insurance company covers
right,
it.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay. And but by doing that, whether that's the good approach or the other approach, but by doing that, it creates a different bill than passed in the Senate. And since they only have a limited number of days in the session, which is interesting since the legislature says they're full time, but they've limited the number of days in the session, they go out of session, and the bill dies.
Let's go to Janet in Green Bay now. Hello, Janet.
Hello. Question: previous speakers have mentioned on this shame, and this is just so unseemly. We need to talk about the, I guess, pink elephant in the room, that these elected, appointed officials, whatever, are spending and living on our tax money. They are vested 100%. It's permanent. They get platinum medical care, and those of us who are paying for it and who do not get what they get because ours are not written in stone, how dare they make decisions about us? It seems more and more clear that we need a separate group, not elected officials who are entitled and paid, because this is just, it is, it's disgusting.
Yeah, Janet, and you didn't say so to me, but you did to our producer that you are a leukemia patient.
I was just recently diagnosed, and I listened to these people yammer and jaw about how, oh, well, they just don't think. And I'm thinking, really, dudes? Really?
Yeah. Do you have a reaction to that, Professor Miller?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is the situation. I mean, you have a deadly disease, and they're dealing with whether to cover it or not cover it. The other side of the coin is that they've got the insurance companies are concerned about money, And as I mentioned, that they're business enterprises. And some people say that business shouldn't be in medicine. And other countries have done different things than the United States has. We're the only country in the world that has profit-making insurance companies that deal with the medical area.
We did have a caller who dropped, who wanted to defend the drug companies to some extent. He still thought that this bill should pass and that insurers should cover these oral chemotherapy costs. But he said that insurance companies need to make money. They need to recoup the billions that they spend on developing new drugs. What about that?
They do. That's true. On the other hand, with drug companies, they are making a lot of money. And right now, a lot of the larger drug companies actually don't have a lot of new drugs in the pipeline. And so what they're doing is they are buying these smaller companies, these biotech companies, that are creating these very expensive drugs. And once they buy these companies, there's a lot of this going on right now where they buy the other company. So they not only want to recoup the cost of the drug and development of the drug, but they also have to recoup the cost of buying these other companies. And that all kicks up the price of pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. And a question from Tracy in Waupaca. From what I understand, she writes, Medicare and Medicaid are not covered under this bill, also not self-insured companies. Does this just apply to certain insurance companies, Professor Miller, as far as you know?
No, as far as I'm aware, that this would cover certainly Medicare, because Medicare's drug benefits are provided by insurance companies. They're private.
Yeah.
The drug benefit under Medicare is private, and this would be paid for out of the drug benefit as opposed to the central, Medicare Part B, which would be the inpatient paying for the drug.
I get it. Well, as we wrap up here, how do you see this bill ultimately playing out?
Well, I think if it comes up on the floor eventually, it will pass, given the public relations. But given the fact that there's only 2 days left in the session, I'm not so sure that it's amended in the Assembly, that they're actually going to get a bill that's the same bill to be able to go to the governor.
Yeah.
So it may not pass because of that.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Okay.
Pleasure. Yeah, good to have you. Ed Miller, professor of political science, co-director of the Center for the Small City at UW-Stevens Point. His areas of expertise include health policy. Well, you've heard our discussion. Now, what do you think? Our big question is, should this legislation pass or not? How about as is or not? Do you support or oppose this legislation that would require health plans to provide equal coverage for chemotherapy pills as they do for treatment that is administered through IVs? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll have our sound-off section after this. Time now for you to sound off on today's big question. Do you support or oppose the oral chemotherapy bill? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll give you 30 seconds to state your case. And our first caller is Barb in Eau Claire. Hello, Barb.
Hi, I'm calling. I support the bill as it's written, and I also state that anybody who lives on my side of the state need to call those assemblymen who are from our area that blocked the bill from being voted on yesterday, who's Warren Petrick, Kathy Bernier, and Tom Larson. Get on the phone, guys, because they blocked this from going through last night. Thank you.
Thank you, Barb. Let's go to Larry in Middleton. Hello, Larry.
Good morning. I'm for the bill. By allowing cancer patients to take chemotherapy in pill form, it saves money and makes their lives easier. But pharmaceutical companies don't want it. They're a source of large campaign contributions. I say, if we want to know why Republicans are against this bill, follow the money.
Thank you very much, Larry. Roy in Milwaukee, what do you think?
I'm for the bill, and I think it's exactly like everyone is saying. What we need to do as the public is the politicians work for us, the public, and we all need to start realizing that we need to get to our people that and politicians and say, listen, if every one of you folks had cancer, would you be voting for this? Absolutely. And just like the lady before said, they have insurance policies that are that we could only beg to have. So everybody needs to get on the phone, email and everything, and start pushing and stop listening to what they think and do what's right.
Thank you very much, Roy. Cody in Oshkosh is with us now. Hi, Cody.
Hi, I support the bill. We need to make it as easy as possible for these poor patients to get their treatment. We need to get money out of politics, and we need a single-payer health care program. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Cody. This is our sound-off portion of our big question, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. How do you feel about this particular legislation, this chemo bill, and the politics surrounding it? Let's go to Barb in Sparta next. Hello, Barb.
Good morning. I'm a medical coder. I code oncology. I see this every day. I am for the bill. The cost of clinic treatment versus home treatment with a pill is tremendous. The difference has got to be absolutely tremendous.
All right. Thank you very much, Barb. Kathy on Facebook says, I support the bill to have the insurance companies pay for oral chemotherapy. The fight should be between the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies, not between cancer patients and for-profit insurance companies. Better yet, let's get rid of profit insurance companies as they exist now, have a single-payer plan similar to our VA system, and allow that plan to negotiate pharmaceutical prices. Thank you very much for that, Kathy. And Abby in Madison. Hello, Abby.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. What do you think? Do you support or oppose this bill?
Well, you know, I wanted to bring up the point, what about holding the pharmaceutical companies accountable as well, kind of much to what was just mentioned, you know, their difference of cost between home chemo care and hospital chemo care, oral chemo care, and holding them accountable for this as well in the bill. I don't know if that's in there, but I would like to see that in there.
All right. Thanks very much, Abby, for that. Peter on Facebook says, there are so many problems in the healthcare industry, and this is one of them. The problem is not that the drug comes in pill form. The problem is that some prescription drugs cost $120,000 and are only half covered. Why should cancer drugs be fully covered and not other expensive life-saving drugs? I would never choose a policy with terms like that, but most people do not get to choose their policy or their policy's terms. Well, I think that's going to have to do it for our sound off. So thanks very much for taking part, and you can continue to vote online. We have our poll. It's linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's also at WPR.org/joy. Vote whether or not you support or oppose this chemotherapy pill legislation. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.